Isaiah 54. We'll continue our journey. When Jesus came on the triumphal entry and rode the donkey into town, they were rejoicing, Hosanna! And not even a week later, he was hanging on the cross. He had been rejected by the nation Israel. In fact, Pilate, who wasn't a Jew, got the pitcher of water and washed his hands. He found no guilt, no fault in the man. What shall we do with this Jesus? And the crowd yelled out, crucify him. They did the decision for what his punishment would be, but he did nothing wrong. He was guilty of no crime. They rejected Jesus. And we're going to see in chapter 54, God says, though you were, my face turned from you for a little while, though there was separation from you for a little while, I am restoring our relationship. In the book of Hosea, God told him to marry a prostitute. And she went out and was a prostitute and left him. She was an example of Israel and God. And at the end of the book, he says, she's fallen, she's in a low place, go and buy her back. Buy her back at the auction and take her back to yourself as your bride. And he did that as a representation of God and his people. Even though they've rejected him, pushed him away, God's there and he buys us back. So with that in mind, let's pick it up in chapter 54, verse 1 of Isaiah. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Now in their culture, if you didn't have a child, it was a disgrace. As a woman, your job was to bear children, to bear offspring, to receive the inheritance. Remember, God gave you that land. God brought you into the promised land and he gave it to you. And he instructed that you were to pass it on to your children. Well, if you don't have children, how do you pass it on? So if you don't have children as a gift from the Lord, it was a disgrace, as if, well, something's wrong. Is the Lord not blessing you? Why is the Lord not blessing you? So here we have, sing, O barren. Well, how can I sing? I have no children. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You haven't labored with child? For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Wait a minute, how can that be possible? The woman is saying. And then verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. So Israel is receiving this promise. To barren Israel, who's been dispersed and attacked and wiped out, your children are going to be innumerable. Verse 4. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. When were they a widow? When was Israel a widow? God is their husband. And when they reject God, it's as if they're a widow. They have no husband. The nation is a widow. No husband leading them. But look at verse 5. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Anna was bringing up widows this morning. A couple of verses. Let's flip over to Hosea chapter 2, verse 16. Hosea 2, we'll start at verse 14. And he's speaking to his people. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. So he's talking about that day. In that day, and when, of course, is that day? When in times, when Jesus comes back, in that day, he's going to speak to his people. He won't be their master anymore. He's going to be their husband. Different relationship, close relationship. So flip back to Isaiah 54. With that in mind, he's talking about the same time period. Don't fear. You won't be ashamed or disgraced. You're going to forget the shame of your youth. At that time, in that day, they'll look back to when nations came and invaded Israel and it was a problem and they rejected God. You're not going to remember the reproach of your widowhood because who's your husband? The one who made you. And look at the names that he gives for himself. He's their maker. He is the Lord of hosts, meaning he's the Lord of everything in heaven and earth. He's their redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel, God of the whole earth. And verse 6, it starts off with a 4, so this is the reason why. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you. We have some contrasts here. But with great mercies I will gather you. So we have the mere moment they've been forsaken, and great mercies he's going to gather them. Now they were dispersed after they rejected Jesus and he was crucified. They were dispersed for 2,000 years. God says for a mere moment. Remember, for God, 1,000 years is a day. His standpoint, it's been a couple of days. For a mere moment I've forsaken you. But with great mercies I will gather you. He's already gathering them back to Israel, and then he's going to gather them all to himself. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. When have we studied that mountains are removed? At the end. Remember the earth, great earthquakes. And we look at the new temple that's going to be built. It can't be built on the Temple Mount right now because it's too large. It's not flat enough there. We have earthquakes that change the geography. We have the Mount of Olives split in two and the river that flows from the Temple Mount towards the Dead Sea and towards the ocean. Dead Sea turns into fresh water and fish live there. In the end times, we have great earthquakes. Islands are removed. Mountains are leveled. And so he's talking about that very same time period, and he's making a promise like with Noah. I'm not going to judge the earth by flood anymore. Here's the rainbow to remind you of my promise. This is pretty significant. He's speaking to his people. I won't be angry with you anymore. We're going to be in relationship like a husband and wife. No more anger. We're going to dwell together in love and in peace. So that's got to be from the end times into the millennial reign, into eternity. And when he talks about his people, of course, here he's talking about Israel. We're also the children of Abraham because Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We believe God, that he raised Jesus from the dead, and it's reckoned to us as righteousness. We get Jesus' righteousness when we believe that God raised him from the dead. Pick it up in verse 11. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. So God cares about the afflicted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. Does that remind you of something? The New Jerusalem. with streets of gold that you can see through. He's going to bring them into fellowship and into dwelling with him. 13. If you look at verses 11b through verse 12, he's establishing them in a city with walls and defenses. Then verse 13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So now he's increasing them. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. So in verse 13, are they physical children that they've given birth to? We don't have children in heaven. We don't marry in heaven. The children are the descendants from Israel who are the representation on earth of God. The Messiah comes from the nation Israel. All of us are children of Israel in that we have faith in Jesus who came from them. And then in verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. Well, where did we get our righteousness? It wasn't because I did good. It's because I got Jesus' righteousness. God has given me his righteousness. So I'll have righteousness. I'll be far from oppression. No need to fear. No terror. Terror won't come near me. And in verse 15, indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. He's talking about the bad guys here that are against us. They're going to assemble, but not because God's called them to assemble. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, God called him to assemble and haul the nation away because they needed discipline. They needed to be turned back towards the Lord. They were worshiping idols, and he was getting their attention. And sure enough, he got their attention. It took 70 years, and then they came back, and they rebuilt the temple. So God called Nebuchadnezzar. He also called King Cyrus to deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Here he's saying, they're going to assemble against you, but not because of him. He hasn't called them. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from where? Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's not by our works. We have a promise here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So, as we look at the biblical timeline, where do you think we are? We're way past Israel being judged and hauled away, aren't we? In fact, Israel has been brought back together according to God's promise. There's a nation since 1948. God is assembling them. You know that we're working towards the end times. So as we watch Iran build a nuclear bomb, what does the Bible say about Israel? No weapon formed against them will prosper. God is going to lead them into the millennial reign as his people. We had 69 seven-year periods where God looked at Israel, according to the prophecy in Daniel. God looked at Israel, the Messiah came, he was cut off. There's another seven-year period where God looks at Israel. God's attention is at Israel. And if you look at the last 2,000 years, God's attention has not been towards Israel. They've been dispersed. He's preserved them, but his attention has been towards the church. We've been in the church age, and we can see that's about to end. Ezekiel chapter 38, there's no reason that couldn't occur today. God's attention towards the church age is about to come to a close. We're raptured, and then boom, he shifts over, and his attention is toward Israel. In those last 7 years, his attention is towards Israel. In fact, as the Antichrist begins to want to persecute Israel, God takes his preserved and he hides them somewhere as the Antichrist is going through the seven-year period. Then we go into the millennial reign where God is there and everyone's looking towards God as he reigns the earth. So we have a promise here at the end, and this is for all of us. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's us. What he just talked about is our heritage. And their righteousness is from me, not by our works. It's a gift from God, says the Lord. We're going to stop there, and we'll pick it up in chapter 55 next week.